Well, I wonder what you all think about this question that I've been asked before when people have learned about Journey Mates and what we do. Well, isn't that just kind of selfish? Like, it's just kind of for you, right? What do you respond to?
But it's not, because it benefits those that are out there that we're going to come in contact with.
Yeah. We talk about the inward-outward movement. And it was interesting when people have posed this to me, I thought, what? Because it's so never been a part of, I was reflecting with this with Pam about this last night, that when I was introduced to contemplative practices, it was within being in a ministry and working for Young Life. It was all about evangelism. So it was always put together. We move inward with God and even within community so we can move out. That's what the church is about. That we're together in church so we can move out. So the Christian life is about the inward-outward movement. It's never about just right here.
And probably, I think it's probably available online, but Henry Nouwen years ago gave a talk called Solitude, Community, and Ministry. That, look for it online. I don't think it's in one of his books. Is it? Does anybody know?
It's from American.
Is that the same deal?
Would you say the title again?
Yeah, we've got that.
The Way of the Heart's the name of the book. The talk, somebody sent me a transcript of the talk. I don't have it on my computer right after he'd given it, but it's called Solitude, Community, and Ministry. And he beautifully explains this inward-outward movement. So that's a question that niggles at you or somebody else. It's great. I want to try to finish, and I've got a few more things to say, so I'm sorry to sort of put us
in. Don't rush, though.
You sure? Okay.
But I just wanted to make one little extra point. When people say that, is it's also for the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, he, happens to really enjoy when people gather, and he's the focus of attention. Mm-hmm. And
Thank you.
You know, just don't forget that element.
That's absolutely true. Because, you know, the Old Testament prophets speak of the fact that God is reshaping his people so they can be ministers to him. And part of what it means to serve him is to pay attention to it.
Yeah, and he just likes it.
Yeah,
he just likes to spend the time with us.
Yeah.
He likes that we're taking the time to be with him.
Yeah.
And thank you. And the element of fear that I think I hear sometimes from people, I really just sit with Jesus. I'm just going to get all stuck there, and I'm not going to want to get out and move out. And indeed, sometimes our spiritual life is a process and a journey, and there is a time when God pulls us into that it does seem like we're more inward than we are outward. But if you will trust that God's in there with you doing it, God's heart is outward. So if you stay there long enough, we don't have to fear. We're going to get out. Mm-hmm. We're going to be out there. He's going to be moving us out. And I think that is a fearful place sometimes in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then like Nancy said, we do, or Janet, one of y'all said, how we end with a blessing, just in a way to confirm what's happened and what our mission is and who we are. You watched yesterday afternoon as we did, really, very real. It was not a role play, it's peer supervision, because all of us that are facilitators are learning. And so here we have Jennifer and Lisa going to pay attention, both of them, to us at the same time while we ask our questions. And we have our supervision with the Friday group right afterward from 12 to 2. We sort of get things tidied up really fast and sit down and just eat hummus and carrots left over from the morning and work through things that happened that were both good and confusing. And what we're really seeking in that is to become women who know better how to listen, better how to be quiet when we think maybe words would help and we really know that's not true, better how to use words to make the statements or ask the questions that would help to open doors. And that is such a gift. It's such a gift to know how to use words rightly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that from Proverbs. And I don't think anybody's really born with that sort of discerning wisdom. But if you put together a group, and as you grow as facilitators, and we'll talk about this a bit in terms of the leadership team, something that is, should I say, essential, or you need someone who's got some training in spiritual direction, discernment, to help you shape it, to see, to help you discern as you have your supervision time, what's going on, what are we missing, how can we do this better? Janet shared us, you know, something from her world that in her group, I shared something else from mine that I've been puzzling over for 2 years. So it's not like you get these perfect answers of how to fix your group or how to fix yourself, but we're learning a new way of being. And the groups, in a sense, if you're facilitating, your group pushes you to see the stuff in your own heart. Mm-hmm. My deep belief is that words will always help. Ask my kids. They have had way too many. And so in my group, I'm pushed to that place of, am I willing to let there just be more silence, you know? So our supervision time is just, and as we said before, because confidentiality is so important in the way that we, and we talk about it with our groups, we don't use names. Like, we've got 6 groups on Fridays, and we don't say, well, so-and-so said, you know, and nobody gets out their list of groups and, you know, oh, you know, got to figure out who she's talking about. You know, so it's just really left that we're trying to seek to grow and how we listen, how we discern, how we speak and not speak, how we pray in our groups.
Well, and it occurred to me, you mentioned the word confidentiality, and we haven't addressed that specifically in this group, but there are levels of confidentiality. Where do you see, as I say that, levels of confidentiality? Where does your brain go? What would be kind of a first level of confidentiality in this setting?
I tell you a place I want to be safe, because this is a big deal to me. If I'm a member of a group, and let's say I'm in a group with you 4 women over there, and I share something really hard, and Sue runs into Margaret at the grocery store, I don't want them to talk about what I said. Mm-hmm. Even if it's in total kindness, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't want them to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think it creates an element of a safe place so that it's not, you don't feel, like you said, there's got to be relational, or I shouldn't say there's got to be, but is there relational connections outside the group? And that's exactly what I thought of, like people running into each other, people going to church together, and then having that level of confidentiality provide safety.
And Sam, I think the important thing that you said is, we think of confidentiality, we all sort of assume, well, we wouldn't go out and tell somebody that wasn't a part of Journey Mates, but you made a really important distinction. They were all there and all heard the same thing, but that they're not going to talk about it outside of that context to each other, well, even though they all heard it.
Yeah, Terry.
And maybe, likely, if I've become vulnerable before God and vulnerable within my group and shared something, and Mary's my facilitator, I may not want Mary to walk up to me at church and ask mm-hmm. me how it's going.
Absolutely.
I mean, that should be my call to,
yes,
absolutely.
To
exactly
initiate
right.
that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, because especially, you know, we have a lot of people in places of leadership. We want people who are pastors and directors and, you know, involved in ministries to be able to come to Journey Mates and be safe. And in any form of vocation, we want you to feel safe. So exactly, it's not my job as your facilitator or as your co-group member to find out how you're doing. And that occurs not only outside of the group, but also within the group. So the next Journey Mate, say that I've told you something about my son or whatever, it's up to me to bring it up again.
Right.
I mean, that's an area that I'm really learning to hand over to the Lord. The unfinished business.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge growth for me last year to say that, okay, we don't have a solution here, and I would like to have a solution with my personality and fix it. So So I just have to be willing to give that to the Lord and be okay with it.
Right.
And just let it be.
And so if I share a heartbreak and the next month I don't bring it up,
right,
what does that, it pulls on stuff in you, right, Janet?
Oh, absolutely. But I have to love the pieces and just let it be.
Just let it be.
It's kind of like spiritual surfing. I mean, you ride that wave, and there's never going to be that same water in that same place at that same time.
That's great.
And you just leave it and let it be. And if you spent your time trying to go back and catch the same wave or find the same water, it would be a fruitless and pointless and unproductive.
Okay, this actually is a new thought for me.
Okay.
That you share something in a group that both Margaret and I are in. Uh-huh. And that we would even not bring it up between she and I, or I would not come to you and say, it's always your call to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. And I think of groups that I'm in back in Colorado Springs where there is a lot of prayer together, uh-huh. praying for needs of other family members and such like that. And many times I have often said, Mary, how is it going with your son? Thinking that I'm being caring and loving,
right? Right.
And we're not saying that isn't Sue. We're saying that is a way. Like the girl in my group that said, "This is a different way of loving." Was such an important statement to me, because in some relationships, if you didn't check up on me,
right,
I would go, I poured out my heart to her.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But what we're trying to create is a place where we can pay attention to God, to ourselves, and to each other in prayer. And so that it calls forth this releasing place. Is it, because if somebody shares something big, there's a part of me that goes, it's up to me to help her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Move through it, get through it, grieve it, survive it, you know, whatever. And here I'm not being called to that. I'm being called to pay attention in the moment.
And if they need that, they can pursue that. But there's an expectation that we have that this is not your only community.
Mm-hmm.
That we expect that you all, as journeymates, you all are journeymates, are in Bible studies, are in churches that are active, are in community groups and home groups, that you have a support system. Now, if you don't, then obviously we want to help you address this thing, but that would be outside the realm of what we're doing here. And that is confusing, and that is difficult, because it's very countercultural to the evangelical world that we live in. But there's a trust factor there, mm-hmm. that God is at work. And an image that helps me with this is one that I was given years ago, and that's the image of loose threads. And I'm a knitter, so this really works for me. That we don't just, when we finish a project, we don't just pull out the needles and let it hang there. We've got to finish the edges. We've got to go around. We like a nice put together blanket. We don't leave, and that's our nature. As Christians, we want to fix it. We want to tidy it up. We want to tie it in a pretty bow, and we want it to be done. And so much of what's happening here is this journey, this process that God has us on. And so we're partnering in that journey, in that process together. And sometimes, whatever God has started, he's working on and he's working on and he's working on a person's life, but it might not come up again for another 6 months, or it might not come up again for another year, and that's up to God to do the stirring in the person, not up to me. In this setting, and that's the crucial element, is it's this setting. This doesn't necessarily apply to your home group, or doesn't necessarily apply to your church group or your Bible study.
Okay.
It's this setting, and it's the partnering idea behind we're partnering with each other in this journey. And with that, we're going to have some unended things. We're going to have some things that just aren't tidy.
And I think it's important, too, to acknowledge that's part of the covenant.
Yes.
So that people know not to expect that.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's very clear. They know why you're not calling and checking in with them.
And that is part of the training that we do, the you know, the orientation the first couple of months, because, but what the result, when people begin to accept that, mm-hmm. what happens is we live our lives, and every time we enter a new world, we have another circle of obligation. Mm-hmm. You know, right. I got to know Sue, and, oh, her mother's coming for 6 months, mm-hmm. you know, and her husband just had surgery, and if I don't take her casserole, I'm a bad woman. And if I, what would it be like to be with a group of people mm-hmm. where I could just listen and pray mm-hmm.
and love
and hope they get a glimpse of what God's doing and not leave having secretly gotten something written in my to-do list calendar mm-hmm. about another obligation. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I think, the freedom to mm-hmm. care without sort of leaving your credit card on the table is an amazing gift. It's a hard one.
I think, Sally, what you're saying relates to what I'm sitting here thinking, that even though for you and Mary and I, we would ask each other, if you know, how are Toby and Luke doing? Mm-hmm. How are your kids doing? At that level of friendship.
Right.
But there are times as I'm growing in my attunement to God and my listening to God, I won't ask that. Because I have the sense, even in my good friend Sally, that this is something she's working on with God mm-hmm. and I'm not going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. So while I would say, yes, it is a rule of confidentiality in Journey Mates, once again, our lives bleed over. Mm-hmm. And the whole overarching thing we're talking about here is listening to God. And so then that feeds into every other aspect yeah. of our life as well.
And I think one thing, the other side of that is being the person that, you know, has been hurting or is going through a difficult time. There is an offense that takes place when you know, like if I were to share something that you could feel like you have a solution for something that I've been struggling with mm-hmm. for, you know, 6 months or however long, and to come, you know, and so I'll get that wherever I go, but to come into a community that places their hands over their mouths with a situation mm-hmm. of mine and lifts it up to the one that, you know, could truly bring healing and solution. That is a truly beautiful thing, and for it not to be spoken of with mere humans, if you will, you know, and in the grocery store, you know, but that when it is spoken of, it's spoken of by bringing me to the Lord, and you know, so that was.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is the idea of honoring mm-hmm. your holy space. Mm-hmm. I mean, because your life, your encounter with God is holy space.
Yeah,
we just honor that.
And the journey and lifting me up, and I mean, you know, just to have, you know, like, because in my mind, I, you know, it's like sacred sharing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And during that time, I, you know, I would have sacred sharing, and it wouldn't even be full details or mm-hmm. anything, but there was such an earnest reception of whatever I did share with the women that were in my group that knew just my sacred part of me. And they would lift that up with reverence to, you know, the one that could bring help and healing. And there were no trite, well-meaning, you know, anything. It's amazing, you know. So I think that might help just to understand that there, you know, to not ask, you know, or to speak of it with others, that to hold it in a sacred place. You know, so.
Because there will be things that come to this group, amazingly God does this, that never end up anywhere else. Mm-hmm. This is the place that people come to share what's down there, mm-hmm. furthest down. And we had an experience like that in my group last month. And it was a weird month because we had 5 people in our group and 3 of them were gone. So it ended up, we had 6 people in our group and 3 of them were gone. I count myself in the 6. So there were only 3 of us there. And the woman who shared from the deepest of deepest places. And she said in reflection, I was very confused by having 3 people gone. And I was actually kind of ticked. Mm-hmm. But God knew. Mm-hmm. And she was able to share at this deep, deep place, and in reflection said, I'm just realizing that had everyone been here, I couldn't have gone there. Mm-hmm. Second month of Journey Mate, second, you know, of her time. And it was just such a realization that God is in this to such a deep level, and that that freedom that she had here, she doesn't have at other places. And I don't mean that as a commentary on these other places. It just, yeah, it's just something God is doing here.
So what do you guys do when you have you're praying like outside of group during the month, and as a facilitator you're having a burning, just a real sense of maybe the Lord asking you to follow up? What happens?
Mm-hmm. Or has that ever happened?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written notes occasionally, just like I just really need to write a note, but I don't have this obligatory sense that I've got to at least do that. Mm-hmm.
It seems like the times that I've done it, I've been surprised that it really wasn't necessary. It was more about me, 99.9% of the time, that I kept feeling like, you know, and then their response, oh, so many times it seems like has always been, I'm, you know, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so what that's for.
Mm-hmm. For me, I've learned to, when I have that feeling, not to act on it right away, and just you know, kind of sit on it overnight. And I realized that that driving force in me is because I'm part of a healing team at the hospital. So my deep desire, my heart, is to heal them. And that's God's work, you know. So I have to realize that I'm not necessary there. So I now don't do that.
Yeah, good. I know we probably should take a break, and we can continue. I'm going to let Jennifer and Lisa are going to lead our next session, and I'm going to let them call it. What we haven't done are the last two things, listening, praying, and sharing, building a leadership team, and they can discern whether...
Do you want to cover the covenant?
I'm going to do the covenant, yeah. So, but the thing about... Because what we have is here in the triangle, it's different what y'all are doing in Omaha, but... We've got the three of us form a leadership team, and then they're facilitators that are why it works and who give incredibly. And then there's facilitators in training, and then the people that are just part of the community. And it's a gift mix, you know, that probably goes without saying to make a leadership team. We're not a perfect one. That's why you get blank pages on the back of the
really, you know, an administrator.
Crazy things. But there are different, and I would rather Lisa and Jen speak to that. But I do want to give you, because it's just part of what we have come to, we do get the facilitators to sign a covenant about their own walk with God that is a serious part of what we do. I mean, first of all, we know that there's nothing that we can do that is, like Robin said, is true seed planted in good dirt. If our own lives are a lie that doesn't match what we believe, you know. And so we're trying to remind ourselves, even through signing this covenant for leaders, that as David said, I want to walk within my house and then take away my heart. I want to just be one person. And the covenant is an attempt to help us look at our lives and go, am I just one person? And is that person rooted in the love and the holiness and the trust and obedience of following the triune God? So I'll give you that. Again, it's just a document. You might go, boy, they left off thus and such. And those things are good to talk about because we're learning as we go. So take that. Let's take a break.